welcome Diane De Prima to the campus and to the Poetry Center. Mr. Prima is an important figure in the literary scene in New York and in the country generally. She recently received an award from the National Institute of Arts and Letters. She's the author of 2 plays, 5 volumes of poetry, and very considerable magazine publication. And she's played a very active role in the publishing of new talent. She founded in 1964, she founded the Poets Press in New York. Its object was being to print and publish the work of significant writers who had difficulty placing their work through the usual commercial channels. And to date, the Poets Press has published 7 books of poetry. She's been associated with important magazines, among them Signal magazine. She was also a contributing editor of Culture and Guerrilla. She's now editor of The Floating Bear, which is a literary newsletter. Among her published collections are The New Handbook of Heaven and This Kind of Bird Flies Backwards. It strikes me in reading her that one line or a pair of lines are in a way a kind of self-description. I don't know if she'd really accept this as a self-description. The 2 lines are, "So here I am, the coolest in New York. What don't swing, I don't push." I don't think she'd call herself the coolest in New York. But that general sense that what don't swing, I don't push, I think comes very close to expressing her sense of her relation to voice and to the language generally. She has a friend with her who is going to play. She's going to read first, and she'll explain exactly what's about to take place. I'm going to have to run up to my car and get his guitar. And meanwhile, Diane will read some poems. Diane De Prima.
Hi. John and I have been, John Braden over there, and I have been traveling around and doing a kind of a mixed vaudeville show kind of thing where we read a little bit from one of my plays, then he plays a few songs, then I read some poems. On account of, I thought maybe by now poetry readings were getting pretty boring, straight poetry reading, and then we do it all over again. Until Mark gets the guitar, I'll just read some poems, and then we'll start and do a shortened version of that because I was told you guys have class at 2, a lot of you. Anyway, if we run over and you split, it's okay, you know, just walk out. It won't bother us. Okay? I'd like to read Am I talking into this? Yes? I never can get used to them. I'd like to read a few new poems till Mark gets back. Rant from a Cool Place begins with a quote by Erasmus. "I see no end of it but the turning upside down of the entire world." We are in the middle of a bloody, heart-rending revolution called America, called the Protestant Reformation, called Western Man, called individual consciousness, meaning I need a refrigerator and a car and milk and meat for the kids so I can discover that I don't need a car or a refrigerator or meat or even milk, just rice and a place with no wind to sleep next to someone, two someones keeping warm in the winter, learning to weave, to pot and to putter, learning to steal honey from bees, wearing the bedclothes by day, sleeping under or in them at night, hoarding bits of glass, colored stones, and stringing beads. How long before we come to that blessed, definable state known as Buddhahood, primitive man, people in a landscape together like trees, the second childhood of man? I don't know if I will make it somehow nearer by saying all this out loud, for Christ's sake, that Stevenson was killed, that Shastri was killed, both having dined with Marietta Tree, the wife of a higher-up in the CIA, both out of their own countries, mysteriously dead, as how many others, as Marilyn Monroe, wept over in so many tabloids, done in for sleeping with Jack Kennedy. This isn't a poem, full of cold, prosaic fact. 13 done in the Oswald plot. Jack Ruby's cancer that disappeared in autopsy, the last of a long line. And they're waiting to get Tim Leary, Bob Dylan, Allen Ginsberg, Leroy Jones, as Who Killed Malcolm X? They give themselves away with TV programs on the Third Reich. And I wonder if I'll live to sit in Peking or Hanoi, see TV programs of LBJ's Reich, our great SS analyzed, our money exposed, the plot to keep Africa, genocide in Southeast Asia now in progress, Laos, Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia, oh soft-spoken Sukarno, oh red great stone Buddhas with sad negroid lips torn down by us, by the Red Guard, all one force, one leveling mad mechanism, grinding it down to earth and swamp, to sea, to powder, till Mozart is something a few men can whistle or play on a homemade flute, and we bow to each other, telling old tales half remembered, gathering shells, learning again all beings are from the very beginning Buddhas, or glowing and dying, radiation and plague, we come to that final great love illumination. From the very first, nothing is. Here's a friendlier poem. It's called New Mexico Poem. I wrote it last year. New Mexico won. Even the sunsets here haven't won me over, haven't convinced me. Simply, this isn't to me familiar land. Pink ears of jackrabbits high among the sagebrush don't tell me any different. I suppose we all learn. There is in Herodotus the tale of Greek soldiers settling near Thebes, each given a woman and land, one woman so like another, one field. But they at least moved from glitter into gold. As we step backwards, even the clay becomes coarser. My thoughts echo big against the high, flat valley. They roll back, bigger than life, to devour my dreams. 2. Corn dance, Taos Pueblo. Red people in blankets wait for returning woodchucks. I know it, though they don't say it. And beavers and chipmunks and possums and otters, gophers, white people poison the prairie dogs. If a dog find a dead one and eat it, he dies. What kind of game is that? Red people in blankets stand on their high, flat roofs, outlined against the sky. They chant, they sing and pray, and it could be Morocco, except the houses aren't white. The women sell jewelry, giggling. The little boys catch fish with their bare hands in the sacred river. 3, the journey. The city I want to visit is made of porcelain. The dead are gathered there. They are at their best. Bob Thompson, in his check jacket and little hat, his grin full of cocaine, spinning down the street. Frank drunk, spitting out tales of Roussel, of Mayakovsky, brief anecdotes over bacon and eggs on a roll, his keenness against the wind. Fred in pointed shoes, drinking an egg cream, his leotard over his shoulder in a little bag, waving amphetamine hands at the sky. The porcelain city glitters. I feel my friends hastening to join it and to join me there. Bob Creeley tearing through Buffalo streets seeking entry. John Wiener's holding still, mumbling and waiting, tears under his eyelids. I walk in that brittle city, still sleepy and arrogant and desperately in love. 4, evening, Taos Valley. How did we come here? My bones keep asking me. They see themselves lying bleached on the sand floor of the valley. They don't like it, don't like it at all. The moon, like a bleached skull, sits behind an abandoned house. The house is melting. It is becoming part of the field. Which ones are weeds? The garden teeters on the edge of success. We live in a mud cave with a stone floor, a rather luxurious cave with running water. 5. Farewell, New Mexico. One thing they never mention in Western movies are those ballads they're always writing about wide open spaces. Sagebrush has a smell, and there are hills, distinctly flesh-colored, lying down in front of the purple ones. Oh, wondrous wide open spaces. Oh, dust on the roads. Oh, Rio Grande Gorge. Green Taos Valley, full of thunderstorms and mosquitoes. Mountain with two peaks, sacred to Taos Indians. Great Ceremonial Lake, fought over in Congress. Oh, Taos Indians, with your braids wrapped in leather, may you keep your sacred lake and whatever else you would like to keep. May you drink with Brother Buffalo on its edge when no one at all remembers the U.S. Congress. As for me, I have just changed from the D to the A train in a dark tunnel you Indians wouldn't believe. A metal tube is shrieking as it carries me to an island with 4 million people on it eating supper. The newspaper tells me that there is a war in Newark. My hope is small but constant. Black men shall tear down the thing they cannot name. They will make room again for the great seabirds. The woods will spring up thicker than even you remember. Where you are, it is 2 hours earlier. The breeze is cold. The sun is very hot. The horses are standing around, wishing for trees. It is possible I shall see you dance again on your hills, in your beads, if the gods are very kind. We have a guitar. We're going to do first a section from something called Poets Vaudeville, which is a libretto that I wrote for a dance in New York. And then John will sing
your own stuff. Huh?
John will sing some songs that he wrote, and then I'll read some more. And then we'll finish off with a scene from a play of mine called Whale Honey, which has in it three people called Byron, Shelley, and Mary, and is 5 acts long. We're going to read a scene, just one scene from the end of the second act.
Seasons. Spring.
Sidonian spring with her attendant train.
Spring being the most subtle of seasons and the longest, being neither here nor there.
Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
And my face, which you so often mar, bears the mark of at least one virtue, patience.
Design your garden, too, so that the tuberous begonias have good drainage, or they will rot.
Is the year's pleasant king? Now pretty birds sing, little maids dance in a ring.
You saw your teeth fall out, your hair, it smells like sauerkraut. It's tragic.
Rhodora, if the sages ask thee why such charm is wasted on earth and sky.
At our Easter Monday sale of hats, 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 hats,
hats. The night were made for loving, and the day returned too soon.
A one-handed catch in the outfield by Dixie Walker! Summer.
Oh, what is so rare as a day in June? Then, if ever, be perfect days.
Hey, Betsy, does light be soon?
So taste the vine.
No more pencils, no more books, no more teachers, dirty looks.
Oh, taste me. There is a stairwell where all things breed in the summer.
Even in the streets, the little girls find flowers, mostly from funerals. Sometimes they steal from churches.
Make me a mass.
When he came out of the tombs, his hair was funny.
The people who go to Florida for the summer and the people who go to Florida for the winter had a war.
He looks He looks like he's asleep. It's a shame that he won't keep.
But it's summer, and we're running out of ice. Taste it again. Taste. Taste. Autumn.
Magic is merely the practice of coordination, the muscles of the wind, the speed of time.
And saw in sleep old palaces and towers quivering within the waves in tenser day.
Just because he is fat and he can't sculpt or paint? Just because he is dumb?
Now in a mournful choir the small gnats wail.
Who killed John Keats?
I, said Lord Byron, with William Styron, I killed John Keats.
No longer mourn for me when I am dead. Then you shall hear the surly, sullen bell.
What is Los Angeles doing with the Dodgers?
Oh, taste the mask.
Season of mist and mellow fruitfulness. Close bosom friend of the maturing sun.
They thought, when she died, it had been a mistake to commit her. Winter.
My face, which you so often mar, bears the mark of at least one virtue. Patience. Beat me. Beat me. Beat me. My time will come.
Taking and wearing the clothes of a suicide is not very different from wearing the skin of the victim.
But it does not purify.
Who should be angry?
And saw in sleep old palaces and towers quivering within the waves in tenser day.
Opium, opiate, everywhere the poppies grow.
Saxe Roemer took out his glass eye and swallowed it.
Let me freeze again.
There's only one way to the Kingdom of Oz and only one way home.
The world of Peter Hartman. Who shall set the stones that she bartered for food and shelter? Where are the Russian craftsmen who make icons? Hands all asleep.
Rain then thy plagues upon me here. Ghastly disease and frenzying fear.
Take me apart.
Oh, taste.
My time will come.
I brought you to my heart.
balloons, I've watched you as you grow. Needing more than simply walking in the wood. So did you leave, I wouldn't stop you.
Afternoons along the green canal, the
and time can't be trusted. It's a river, or maybe it's a game. No, no, it's
Alba for a Dark Year, New Year's Eve, 1967. The star, the child, the light returns. The darkness will not win completely, nor will the green dragon entirely devour the sun. What is this softness that will not take no for an answer, that penetrates in masses like love in an empty heart? Buddha has seen the morning star, dawn's purple and then gold in the snowy mountains. Your hands flicker like sunlight among candles. Children sit down in the streets. They buy peace with their blood. It shines on the gloomy pavement. Our prayers envelop us like a crystal sphere in which we all are moving. Poem in praise of my husband, Taos. I suppose it hasn't been easy living with me either, with my peaks and ups and downs, my need for privacy, Leo pride, and weeping in bed when you're trying to sleep, and you interrupting me in the middle of 1,000 poems. Did I call the insurance people? The time you stopped a poem in the middle of our drive over the Nebraska hills and into Colorado, Odetta singing, the whole world singing in me, the triumph of our revolution in the air, me about to get that down, and you saying something about the carburetor, so that it all went away. But we cling to each other, as if each thought the other was the raft, and he adrift alone, as in this mud house, not big enough, the walls dusting down around us, a fine dust rain, counteracting the good high air and stuffing our nostrils, we hang our pictures of the several worlds, New York collage, San Francisco posters, set out our Japanese dishes, Chinese knives, hammer small Indian marriage cloths into the adobe. We stumble through silence into each other's gut, blundering through from one wrong place to the next, like kids who snuck out to play on a boat at night, and the boat slipped from its moorings, and they look at the stars, about which they know nothing, to find out where they are going. In case not everybody here is acquainted with Comrade Mahakala, his name means the great darkness, and he's the consort of Kali, the great goddess of India, who creates and destroys everything. And he comes up in this poem, so I thought I'd tell you who he was. Buddha's New Year song. I saw you in green velvet, wide full sleeves, seated in front of a fireplace, our house made somehow more gracious, and you said, "There are stars in your hair." It was truth I brought down with me to this sullen and dingy place that we must make golden, make precious and mythical somehow. It is our nature, and it is truth that we came here, I told you, from other planets, where we were lords. We were sent here for some purpose. The golden mask I had seen before that fitted so beautifully over your face did not return. Nor did that face of a bull you had acquired amid northern peoples, nomads, the Gobi Desert. I did not see those tents again, nor the wagons, infinitely slow on the infinitely windy plains. So cold, every star in the sky was a different color, the sky itself a tangled tapestry glowing, but almost I could see the planet from which we had come. I could not remember then what our purpose was, but remembered the name Mahakala in the dawn. In the dawn confronted Shiva, the cold light revealed the mind-born worlds as simply that. I watched them propagated, flowing out, or, more simply, one mirror reflecting another. Then broke the mirrors. You were no longer in sight nor any purpose. Stared at this new blackness. The mind-born worlds fled, and the mind turned off. A madness or a beginning? Read an old poem, 1963, called Rondo for the Yule. I got away with it all summer. Will I get away with it all fall? And more importantly, winter. Infinitesimal yearnings, the romantic or Western concept of love, not Traherne's, familiar concept. It fills the cup in me with thorns. I am cruel to the children. That is, you stride up the street and I get on a bus. We got away with it for the past 3 years. Another escaping, and you are not so dumb that you didn't see that in it. There are Christmas decorations in the windows, 4 Christmases ago or the summer before, and mostly ephemeral. The seasons roll over it, flattening it out. Still, a flicker of interest. What a funny hat you're wearing. Rejoice. Architectonic bells, motets of pain. Anger, or is it just the wind is cold? Exultate, a thin gray cry that the eagles carry between my bus and your walking. Oh, beautiful city, juggling us both in its hands, playing jacks with us like an unskillful girl. Oh, winter, closing down on our separate shells. That's a very New York poem. Seems like that only happened in New York City. That's all right. In memory of my first chapatis. If we had dope for an excuse, or love, something bumpier with ups and downs, like the chapatis puffing and going stiff, I probably overcooked them, to account for your incessant displeasures. You stalk around the house brandishing T-squares. You dream of drowning the children. You tell me 9 days of the week that you are leaving, but you're still here. I can tell by the lump in my stomach, my unreasonable desire to sleep all the time, so as not to hear you starting the Volkswagen bus as if it were a Mercedes, zooming out of the driveway. The women of the rest of the world have so much to teach me. Them in their saris, so cool, needing chapatis or tortillas, depending on where, kneeling by their fires or by their hibachis or standing by their wood stoves. The women of the rest of the world plait their hair as I do, but they have more patience. They have put up a screen behind which they only dimly discern their menfolk bursting the air with perennial desperations. Ode to elegance, and praise the grace, the elegance of body, your hands, flesh of my children, thin giraffes raising themselves in the sun on distant plains, the elegance of mantis and of beetle, the clear precisions of the shooting stars, colors of water,
sounds on the city air. Directio voluntatis, the clear will shining like rubies through the lucid eyes. The city of Dioce, long eyes of cats in the grass. The slender elegance of scorpions, lovers of death, flash of the hunting knife. The thin high noise in the air, the breath of Kali, precision of the fingernail on flesh. Pastels of Beardsley, pain of a century. That the skin should lie so elegantly on the air, that the black night should penetrate so gently, that treason should shine like stars, the clarity of dawn, of murder, of the running tide, the subtle stuff of slime, the river mosses with light inwoven, the elegance of the skull, the phosphorescence of the ending body, exposed to earth, to air, water, or fire, will-o'-the-wisp, a marsh light, star to star, the holy mother of the cremation ground. Let us now praise all fleshly consummations, the elegance of sweat, initiation into the burning loneliness of this place, desert of salt, immense intoxication, in this white light, under this rush of wind, all things teem forth like dust motes in the air, that all things send forth love inanimate, that all these loves have mingled in the air and set up a great clangor in the nodes, heart of the sound, this deadly spirit love, a cosmos comes to birth. Let the pure pain tear your throat till you spit blood, cry out, rejoice, that which must come to birth even the goddess mother cannot dream of. We climb from rung to rung, a circular, undeviating, golden, perfect ladder of ages long forgotten to be told over and over as a string of prayer beads. The Ferris wheel has started up again. Read about two more poems, and then we'll do a play for a little. This poem is really the words for a song, but it's not a song yet. Nobody's made it a song. It's called Zero, which is the number of the fool's card in the tarot. A blessing on your velvet shoes and on your hair so free, and may the wind that bore you here soon take you away from me. For you are the fool, the holy man, who wanders ceaselessly, and the star you follow does not stop for my door and my company. A blessing on your coat so green, all worked with magic signs, and on the light in your bright eyes, unlike the light in mine. For joy is calling from the wind, and the white sun beats down, and at the end of your long bright path, Puck polishes your crown. He holds it out on the ace of swords. No easy gift gives he, and the fool becomes the hanged man for that bright company. So may your wallet e'er be full with goodly bread and meat, and the white dog who follows you dance lightly at your feet, and may you mate with fairy girls all in their robes of white, your long hands pluck anemones late in the purple night. You shall drink wine from the jeweled cup and be drunk eternally, and wash your face in the silver foam thrown by the pale gray sea. And the crown you gather shall not fade, though my tears will drop like leaves, and the wine you drink shall keep you warm while all the Northland grieves. For you are the fool and the hanged man whose light shines endlessly, and that cruel wind that bore you here bears you on eternally. This poem is called Hymn. O Set, O Ur, O Ptah, who is Shiva, O Dark Ones, here in the heat of a Kerhunksan summer, I salute thee, Manitou, Great Spirit, ask that you bring us home, bring us safely back to the great honeycomb tombs, the burning grounds, the gore and great light, the peace of forgotten times. The dark of the moon has gone unobserved too often. O Vishnu, great husband, take us under your skirts. Give us again to the land, to the tides, to each other, bowing in robes in respect on 1,000 shores. We have harnessed many powers we do not worship, and their anger is seething against us. O Durga, O Ishtar, we have borne our babes unconscious, brought to nothing the moment of tearing, and we shall die. Brought like sheep to thy altar, O Kali, we have cut down the sacred groves of Woden and Diana. Where can we go for sanctuary? The great hills alone remain to take us and take us in. Mount Meru, Father, destroy our minds, bring blindness in which the forms may leap, myriad, colorful. O rest, great earth on which we have poured poison, Demeter, patient, Sati, ever forgiving, bring from your lap to teach us a race of giants, the men who in the old days brought the law, they who wore gold on their faces, whose porcelain cities underground glowed like the sun, whose songs Cecil Taylor remembers and Fred Herko, who brought us the lute and the bow. Unchain in us the tears of longing and terror, of love. Unleash us that we may speed again to thy side, O sea, O Mother Mary, Krishna beloved. O my Lord Shiva, raise us again to thy couch. We'll end with a scene from Whale Hunting.
I'll tell you a story. The spirits had come to rest on the tops of the mountains. The fog was thick. The cries of newborn infants could be heard in the woods that lined the road. In his cloak, a man not more than 4 feet high walked out of the forest. He did not limp. He was sorry he had no flashlight in his cap. With a bag of coal on his back, his hands were blackened with it. Or was this merely a lad, a chimney sweep, all rosy under the soot? Our hero, bored and intrepid, chose to find out. There were hundreds of bats that night. They all flew high as if they were seeking comet's hair to tangle in. They were thinking about hamburgers, hamburger buns soggy with relish or ketchup. They flounced about like high school girls whose men are playing football, feeling each other up and shouting for joy. I have neglected to tell you of the children. We ate them roasted, without barbecue sauce. When we found the 4-foot man, he had finished praying and cast his incense brazier into the sea. He never told us whose was the golden hair, torn out by handfuls, scattered. Before we could ask, a wind had carried him off.
There was no fog. I lay on a flat rock, telling some kind of prayer beads. A half smile glistened like morning haze over my face. I waited. I thought of morning glories. You had promised to bring a knife. When I saw them, they were hand in hand and singing or speaking, or there was some kind of buzz in the air. The wind in bayberries, the cliff began to crumble. I never thought, even then, of holding on. I remember my dress was light blue. It billowed about me. I crossed my hands. I thought the rock would open. The smell of incense wafted on the wind, the cry of gulls, much like the sounds of children. Day broke, the bees flew out of the heaps of seaweed. My nose bled and it stopped. I thought the dark, would never come again.
In the first place, whoever scratched that inscription with shells on the face of that cliff must have flown there. The place is inaccessible. The wind was high. In the plains, the fog had turned to drizzle. In the morning, I saw that her face was pockmarked. Her hair was dull, and there was gray in it. When I encountered her in the corridor, a wraith hissing, an angel electric shock had dissolved a film, a sheen in the air. A pair of hands in my arm to draw me down. I could consent to any war. Rubies fell out of her ears. She rose like mist in the dawn to close the curtains. The dark returned. Her skin glowed. Marsh lights floated on the mud and flowers. I was drowning. Oh, I had considered guitars. The lack of incense, brocade, and kindness. Her lips were stagnant, tepid as marsh water, brackish. Her stomach sucked at the edge of my skirts. She held a sword. She shimmered. My God, I was a skull and hungry. My bones, yellow, not even polished, they gave little light. She snickered. I threw my boots in the incinerator. I followed her downstairs on my hands and knees.
They were elves that I saw there at the edge of the wood. The god came, but he didn't so much as put his hand under my skirt. I thought of the shower of gold I'd never seen. The berries I picked were green. The leaves were falling faster than hailstones. You were carving chessmen, your brows drawn together, your stance. You were making rituals again. The elves rode on ponies, seven elves to a pony. They moved slowly over the mountain. The god flicked his tail and neighed.
Whether the young man had, in previous lives, had his flesh torn by vultures, eaten by flies, how many times his corpse had laid in the garden? He spoke of the golden cats behind the altar, 10 times the height of a man.